Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Visit us soon at our new State College location.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and David Jones.
Hello, Penn State fans. It's time for the first of three Blue White Breakdown podcasts this week. Dave Jones is here for the commentary, the analysis. I'm here for the eye candy quality for all the female viewers and listeners. I'll do the best I can to keep up. But Dave, how are you? How are things going? It's Combine Week. Big week for Penn State's program. We're going to get into that, but how's it going, man?
It's Combine Week, huh? I am really excited about that.
We can bet you're going to be following very closely. I know that. And I know this is probably, other than the start of spring practice, maybe your favorite time for Penn State football. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just talk about the Combine, because I do think it's important. Penn State has eight guys in the combine. I actually thought they could have easily had a ninth. Ellis Brooks, their leading tackler, their middle linebacker, did not get a combine invite. I thought he was more than worthy of one, but they got a lot of guys at a lot of different positions, Dave, including the kicker, Jordan Stout. And the reason I want to talk about him a little bit is I just wonder, all indications are these guys are going to be another testing clinic at the combine where a lot of guys do very well. Jahan Dotson, Ebiketie, Jaquan Brisker, Brandon Smith, those guys are all freakish athletes. And I think it's going to get the Penn State fan base riled up when these guys are going to get a lot of praise and put up all these numbers because they finished 7-6. So I just think it's going to be a little bit of a polarizing week for Penn State fans, because I think the better Penn State does, the more angry they're going to be about 2021.
Yeah, and it's happened before. We are hearing that Jahan Dotson going to be the first wide receiver maybe drafted. Is that where I read that?
No, you know what? I think he still has a chance to go in the first round, Dave. But the guy that, as we get closer to the combine, that's why I wish we could have seen him. The Arkansas receiver that didn't play in the Outback Bowl has kind of become the consensus guy that, man, he could go in the top 15, top 12. A lot of people like both Ohio State wideouts as well. Jahan's certainly in the first round conversation for sure, but I don't know that it's a lock he would go in the first round. I hope that he does, and I think he's going to test very well. But Penn State could have two kids go in the first round. They could also have, you know, a couple guys go in the second round and third round. I think they could have eight or nine guys drafted very easily, Dave. The more guys that do well in Indianapolis, I think the little bit warmer the seat is for the current coaching staff.
What I did read is that he had the best hands. He might have the best hands at the combine.
Yes. I actually saw on Twitter one guy who really likes him, and you know the guy, Greg Cosell. They shared a write-up he did on Jahan, and he is a huge Jahan Dotson fan. He just thinks that his catch radius, his ability to run routes, his acceleration, his willingness to go across the middle when he's not the biggest guy in the world, all work in his favor. He also thinks he could play inside or outside as a receiver, even though he's not the tallest receiver. So that's he really, really, really thinks he can be a special player. But, you know, there's probably going to be some guys that aren't as optimistic, but, man, when you watch his tape the last 2 years, there's not too many receivers, I think, that did more in college football than he did.
And maybe faster than we gave him credit for is what I also heard.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it. I always thought the defenses that played him they never gave him enough respect for his speed dating back to the start of 2020. I mean, he was running guys by guys that had angles on him, and it was like they didn't realize how fast he had become. I think he had gotten a lot faster maybe since that 2019 season, the first year that he started. And I think he was even faster in 2020. And this year, if you didn't have over-the-top help on Jahan Dotson, he was going to go by you, and it was going to be a touchdown. Maryland learned the hard way in that game at College Park late in the year. He consistently made big plays. And I just remember our guy Matt Millen telling me before 2019 season that he said, Jahan, and this is before he even started, Jahan Dotson reminded him of Paul Warfield. And I'm like, whoa. And it turns out Matt was right on the nose because he's a legit first-round talent.
You correct me if you don't believe this, but I think the time where we really saw what he could do was the loss, not yep. this year, but last year against Ohio State. Do you remember that?
For 144 and three, yeah.
Yeah, and coming up against
Wasn't it Sean Wade?
Yeah, Ohio State cover corner who was supposed to be all that, and Sean Wade, and he pretty much abused him the entire game. Yeah. Not only in running by him, but running routes and then fighting for 50-50 balls. He caught a number of those where he kind of out-muscled Wade. And that was when we knew he was going to be a special player, at least the first indicator that you could really tell. I think the Arkansas kid you're talking about is Treylon Burks. Is that
Treylon
right?
Burks, he's a big receiver, and everyone now is in love with the Debo Samuel, the guy that can affect the game as a runner too. And Burks is a guy that is a big receiver, even I think bigger than Debo. But I think that that's going to be if somebody trades up to get a receiver, it will probably be somebody moving up to get him because he's a big guy that can cause all kinds of problems because he doesn't have to be wide open to catch the ball, like you said. He can just, you know, Chris Godwin you, for lack of a better term. He can just make the catch, the contested catch. And then if you miss on him, he's gone.
Now, what you were getting at before as far as putting heat on the staff is that there have been a number of players, including even on the offensive line during the Franklin tenure, who were not great players at Penn State but then have developed into dependable pros. Across the league at different positions. I don't think you would count Jahan Dotson as somebody who's overlooked. So,
right.
I've got somebody in mind who might surprise everybody and that would really piss off the Penn State fan base if he develops into a dependable pro. And the same thing I read about Dotson's speed and his catch radius, this guy also was touting this defensive player for the Nittany Lions. Can you name who it is?
The guy that the perception is that he underperformed at Penn State, it would be Brandon Smith. The guy
that's the one.
The guy, and there are a lot of fans that really thought he just was going to be better than he was. I still think I would not give up on a physical talent like Brandon Smith. This guy is 6'3", 245. I tried to get a hold of him on the phone last week. I talked to his dad. He's not doing interviews right now. He's just solely focused on training for the combine. The only problem, Dave, about the combine is it's like training for the Olympics. Like, you can have a great combine, but that doesn't necessarily mean when you play on Sundays in the NFL, it's going to translate. I mean, he is certainly you look at the guy and you think he could be a Pro Bowl player. It didn't help him that he came out a year early. I thought he could have definitely benefited. Like Jesse Luketa, Jesse Luketa before the 2021 season, I don't think anyone viewed him as a draftable player. Now, he came back for a fourth year. He did some more work in the weight room. They converted him to defensive end, stand up and with his hand on the ground. And he really just had a phenomenal year at Penn State, and he's tore it up at the Senior Bowl. And now I'm hearing he could go in the third round. But just think about a year ago at this time, nobody would have probably said that if he had come out for the draft. They would have said he was crazy. I still think there's time for Brandon Smith to be a really good player. I could see him having a great combine. And I would also argue, Dave, that I don't know, with linebackers at Penn State, Brent Pry obviously knows how to coach linebackers. But when you have a guy that can run like Brandon Smith, I thought he spent too much time like out in space in coverage. I would have liked to have seen him at the line of scrimmage the last 2 years instead of just this last past year. And I think he was still learning to be a box linebacker this year. I just think his best football is ahead of him, but you're 100% right. I saw a couple of scouting reports about him. He's going to be one of the most polarizing players in the draft because of how he looks, how he runs, how he's going to test. And then there's going to be some people question some of the things that he did at Penn State. I am still all in on him, but I agree. I think a lot of people are going to be talking about Brandon Smith going into the combine and coming out of the combine.
Now, what do you do with a kid like that if you're a GM? A famous ex-GM that we all know, Ernie Accorsi, once told me that the combine, he never trusted the combine, especially with guys where he had the tape. He said, you always trust the tape.
Right.
Now, if what you say is true about Brandon Smith, and he does test out well, what do you trust? Do you trust the tape? Or do you trust the combine? Do you trust these figures when he's running in shorts and doing tests? Or do you trust what he did on a football field? And where do you divide how he was deployed from what he can do?
Right. The actual on-field workouts is just part of it. They're going to get interviewed. Penn State's Pro Day will be March 24th, which is coming up. What's it, about 3 weeks, something like that. I would imagine Brandon will be at Pro Day, so there'll be another kind of workout and maybe some individual drills that they could put him through, but there's going to be interviews. But I was thinking about this as well. If you view somebody as a top 100 talent in the draft, but you're not sure if he's a top 100 football player, what's the risk reward? Where are you prepared to take that player? In other words, because, you know, top 100 usually is the first three rounds in the draft. You know, the fourth round, you're getting into 100 plus. So the guy looks like a linebacker. He sure runs like a linebacker. He's strong enough to be a linebacker. Did he have some up and down moments at Penn State? He did. But I still think he also had some really, really nice moments at Penn State. But I have seen some of the write-ups about him, and I would gamble on his upside. The question is, where do you gamble on it? Where are you prepared to pull the trigger on a guy like Brandon Smith? If he runs 4.5 or 4.48, you know, he's agile, you know, he's going to do some jumping stuff and he interviews well. How is that going to change your opinion of him? And what are Penn State's coaches maybe going to say about Brandon? Because I'm sure, you know, scouts and GMs are going to be talking to them as well.
This isn't a perfect comparison, but what would you have done last year at this time if you're a GM with Jason Owe, now Adolfo, how do you say that? Adolfo Owe?
I think it's Odafe.
Odafe Owe.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because the guy really underperformed a dangerous defender who you should have to account for, who really didn't do a lot, but the imperfect part of the comparison is that his disappointing season was during a COVID season. So you don't really know what to do with that. But otherwise, it kind of is a comparison, isn't it?
Yeah, but he was still the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten coaches did vote him first team. He was either first or second team. But what I would say, though, with Odafe was, even though he had no sacks in 2020, and I think he played 7 of the 9 games, he got hurt, I think, and missed. He got hurt in the Rutgers game. He was in the backfield a lot. So he was getting into the backfield, but he was not finishing. He could have actually had 4 or 5 sacks. He lived in the backfield a lot. He had a nice game in the very opening game against Indiana. He did just awfully well at the combine, actually faster than Micah Parsons, which is still astounding to me at almost 260 pounds. But I would bet you that not everyone had a first-round grade on him like the Ravens did. So that's the thing. And when you have 32 teams, Dave, you don't need all of them to be in love with you. You just need one or two of them to be in love with you. And sometimes that's – I really think Brandon's really a fascinating player, and I really think, boy, if he develops into his A game, he's going to be a tremendous talent. I would not mind at all if the Cowboys took him. I'm actually rooting for the Cowboys, my Cowboys, to take him. But I think another player, though, we mentioned Jesse Lucchetta. Like, what a steep climb he made in a year. I give him a lot of credit because even though he was a starter in 2020, some kids, when they get moved to another position, you got to trust the coaches. Some kids will pout. You know, if they're not, you know, playing where they were told they were going to play, you just don't know what you're going to get. Man, he had a hell of a year in 2021. And that physical aspect, and also I never knew he was that quick. I mean, he bulked up. He showed a lot of range from the defensive end position. He's extremely violent player, too. And that's a guy. He's a guy that's not afraid to mix it up. And a guy that can play in a 3-4 defense or a 4-3. To me, he seems to me to be a player that Bill Belichick would love, because stand-up outside linebacker that can set the edge and cave in the chest of the offensive tackle if they're trying to run in your direction. He's just, I think, a fascinating player. I think he made the biggest jump in 2021, and I'm really glad he had a good Senior Bowl.
And there have been other guys that nobody really thought much of. Nick Scott.
Yeah.
Here's a guy. Where was he drafted? Seventh round? I don't even remember.
I think seventh round pick of the Rams, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And spent some of his time on the special teams, I believe, early this year. But, I mean, I don't know that he was doing a heck of a lot else with the Rams until midway in the season when they started playing him. Is that right?
His role expanded. They had a couple players. Taylor Rapp, I think, was one of them, got hurt. And so they had to play him. And the more they played him, the more they liked him. And he just was hard to get out of the lineup.
There's many more of these guys than the opposite with Penn State players. And that's what tends to piss off the rank and file fans. Here's another example. Where was Jack Crawford drafted? And he's been around the league forever now. Where was he drafted?
I know he was drafted. I'm trying to remember. He played in the league a long time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who originally drafted him, though. I think he was mid to late rounds. But he was, yeah, he was one of those basketball player prospects, much like Odafe.
He's still hanging around, isn't he? And he's still out there somewhere?
Boy, I think his last year at Penn State, he's got to be in his early to mid-30s. I could check, but...
He's 33. Yeah. he still played with the Raiders this year, right?
Yeah.
This is the Blue-White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Visit us at Curaleaf.com or stop in to see us at any of our locations, including our new State College dispensary located at 1248 South Atherton Street. Let's talk medical marijuana and let our confidence become yours.
Well, we haven't really talked about the all-time, since I've been on the beat, the all-time Penn State guy who, at the league, just took it to a next level. But it took him some time, spent some time in the CFL. Cameron Wake. He played outside linebacker at Penn State and then worked himself into a defensive end. Spent some time in the CFL, was undrafted. I think he was undrafted. I think of course, he and the Giants signed him, but he didn't make the team. But he turned into a Pro Bowl player, and he made a lot of money in the NFL, a lot of money. But he was a guy that he was just not in the right position at Penn State. And he, as he got bigger and stronger, man, he turned into a hell of a player.
Yeah. The other position group that I think probably pisses off Penn State fans more than any other is offensive linemen, who somehow, guys like Connor McGovern, who weren't all that great in college and somehow have kept hanging around in the NFL and become dependable offensive linemen at that level. So how do you explain that?
Well, I mean, I thought Connor, remember, he started as a true freshman and he came out after 3 years. But I mean, I thought he was solid at Penn State. I thought by the time he got into his third year, I thought maybe he might be he could be like a first team All Big Ten player, but he's from the Scranton area. He's with the Cowboys, still hasn't won a starting job there. He's a contender to start this year, but I think he was just kind of, he got hurt as a rookie, and I think that sent him back. It was him, Michael Mennett, who started a lot of football and played a lot of football at Penn State. And even a guy like, of all of them, Ryan Bates, undrafted, signed with the Eagles. The Eagles traded him to the Bills for a pass rusher that never panned out after his first training camp. And now he was starting for the Bills at the end of the year. How about
and
that?
Mennett's with the Packers, and he's with the Bills, correct, now?
Yeah, I think Mennett was drafted late by the Cardinals. Then he signed with somebody else. And then, the last I heard, I think he's on the Packers practice team. Mennett was a 5-star. I think Bates was a 4-star, and I think McGovern was a 4-star.
Yeah, so all these guys played together at one point or another. And yet Penn State never really, you couldn't really say that Penn State ever had an all-star offensive line, and yet all these guys are contributors in the NFL. Do you have another position group where this sort of thing is true?
Can you truly develop, excuse me, into a really good pro offensive lineman in the offense they ran at Penn State?
There you go. And what is it?
Can you really do that?
What is it? That's the whole thing. I got back to what Steve Bench was talking to me about. If you don't know your identity as an offense, then your offensive linemen really are adrift. They don't know who they are. And I don't think this offense, it has hopscotched from one philosophy to another to another. The only time you really knew who they were was in 16 and 17 with Joe Moorhead. Then you knew who they were.
It'd help having McSorley and Barkley in the back.
Yeah. but at least you knew who they were. They were the Mad Bombers. Yeah. They were going to keep taking pops downfield and try to hit big plays. And they did. But since then, since Moorhead's left, what are they? What's their personality? They really don't hang their hat on anything. And I don't know how you can develop offensive linemen if you don't know what your own personality is offensively. That's my point.
Yeah, and we have another test case coming up at the combine, Rasheed Walker, who he could have came back to Penn State, but you know, he's a guy. I saw some reports on him. They like some things about him. They think he's a draftable player, but they think that he might be better suited to playing either right tackle or guard in the NFL, which to me would be interesting to see because he's such a large human being. I don't know how that would
really?
Go.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he'd be another Donovan Smith.
Well, I mean, if you can't pass block those speed rushers, they got to kick you inside. If you can't handle some of those freaks coming off the edge, the Bosas and Khalil Mack, even Micah Parsons to Marcus Lawrence, if you can't handle them, you can't play tackle, especially left tackle. So we'll see. But, I mean, that's another guy that he was that class. I think he was in – Rasheed was in the 2018 class, but he was way up there, I think, on the charts. They had the three five-stars, but I think Rasheed was like right below those guys in terms of rankings. And Dave, you know, I thought he had some really good moments in 2019, but 2020 and 2021, I don't think really turned out the way he had hoped for sure. So I don't think he's going to get any better at Penn State. So he said, I'm coming out.
He's certainly built like a tackle. If this pattern holds, what I'm saying is, he becomes better at pass blocking. He becomes better against speed rushers. And then if that happens again, this is what pisses off the rank and file.
Right.
They don't see it in college, and then all of a sudden it pops up in the pros.
I do think, you know, when you have this, when if you're a team that has, you know, 9-10 guys drafted, and, you know, a couple either are late first round or 4 or 5 guys go in the first, you know, 75 picks, and you lose 6 of your last 8. You lose at home on homecoming to Illinois. It's not a great look. It's not a great look. And I wonder, we haven't even talked about Jaquan Brisker, who it might be the highest rated safety going into the combine after Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame, who a lot of people might think might be a top 5, 6, 7 pick.
And Brisker has shown, if nothing else, that he's tough. You wonder how durable he'd be at that level. He's fearless, certainly, but what would you do if you're a GM with Brisker? It's knowing what you know, and he's been in and out of the lineup during games and keeps coming back and coming back, but he getting beat up. I mean, the Iowa game was a perfect example. I mean, he just put himself in the way. Who did flatten him? Was it Linderbaum? I can't remember. It was somebody much bigger than he was because he's fearless.
Yeah. I think the NFL is aware that, and also impressed the fact that he gutted out that regular season because he was clearly in pain almost literally from the beginning of the season. The medical is going to tell the tale. Is it an injury that you can bounce back from? Is it an injury that could be, you know, problematic in his career? If it's not, I mean, if he checks out medically, he could be a first-round player. He's that good.
Now, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
This program on the plus side has had a history of producing guys who kind of come out of nowhere and get jobs in the league. Danny Chiesena is a perfect example, a guy who really didn't play that much at Penn State, dabbled in track. Well, he's a pretty good track star, but then got a job as a gunner. And was he still with the Vikings last season or not? Was he still active?
You always stick up for those Downingtown guys. I admire you, Dave. Your love for Downingtown knows no bounds.
I just know his history, knowing Chris Angeline, who is his kid was used to work out with Danny, and I know what he went through to get that shot, and it's impressive stuff. So there's been a couple other guys like that in Penn State history who got jobs in the league. Maybe they didn't play more than 2 or 3 years, but if you had a candidate for that out of this group, who would it be?
I think one of the guys you're thinking of is Ethan Kilmer.
Yes,
who was a key player on the 2005 team. Played wide out, was a fantastic gunner, and I think he actually was drafted, but he played a couple of years in the league. But just a player who would play fast and physical, and you could put him on offense if you needed to. He wasn't just a special teams player. This year, you know what? I mean, it's not really comparable, but I do think Jordan Stout will get drafted. Like, he's not going to be. I don't think he'll be a priority free agent. I think he can impact the game enough that he's worth spending a draft pick on, and it might even be before the seventh round. I just think when you can eliminate the other team's return game as a punter, and you can kick the ball, you know, through the end zone and essentially eliminate the return game, and you can be like an emergency field goal kicker at the very least, I don't know how you wouldn't want to draft. I would make that a priority, not because when you go into free agency, it's the wild, wild west. I mean, you're not necessarily going to get the player you want. I think Jordan Stout, though, I think Blake Gillikin is now the Saints punter. And I think that Jordan Stout can be an even bigger weapon than Blake Gillikin. So I still wonder about Virginia Tech not giving him a scholarship. I just don't understand it. I think he's a guy that could really get drafted and really help a team. Arnold Ebiketie. Oh, boy, he was so fun to watch. He's a guy that had a great year, and he just missed, Dave, a handful of other splash plays that would even improve his resume. But I just thought
that would have altered games. I mean, he was really close on a couple.
I really was impressed. Just a very good guy to talk to. You know, one of those guys, not yes or no answers. You ask him a question, he'll give you an answer. But, man, Owe goes in the first round. Tony is a first-team All-Big Ten player. And they somehow managed to find this guy from Temple, and he played better than both of them combined. I mean, he was fantastic. I think the team that gets him, he's a guy that I think he's probably going to be an early second-round pick.
If it's worth anything in the verbal part of the combine where they talk to kids, boy, couldn't find a more impressive guy than that. He's going to be like Jason Kabinda, or one of those guys. I mean, he might get – a better draft simply because he's really fun to talk to and an upbeat personality and kind of a can-do sort of personality. You see in him what you saw when he came from Temple. He knew he could do what he could do. Nobody knew it until they saw it. But when you hear him talk, you hear of a guy, you hear the voice of a guy who believes, who has self-belief, and that can't hurt him.
No. I'm really curious to see him run a 40 because you always saw the short area speed with him, but he just looks like a fantastic athlete, and he's probably a long strider, but I'm curious to see what he runs because I just think he's a guy that, boy, I think he can play in the NFL for a long time. I think the team that gets him, immediate impact guy, anyone who can rush the passer and also, you know, he actually made some plays in the running game. I think he'll only get better. You're right though. I really like him too, and he's a guy I really hope has a good combine. I hope all these guys come back to Penn State Pro Day in a couple of weeks because a lot of them we didn't really get a chance to see in the bowl game. They wisely opted out of that fiasco, and I'm just anxious to see them. I'll be looking forward to seeing all of them at the combine, and we'll see. We'll see how much they're talking about Penn State, Dave, after this combine. But just remember, man, it's a – when you have that many guys drafted and a lot of them are going to go high, it's not necessarily the greatest look for the coaching staff when they finish the season 7-6.
Why you always have to be negative?
It's always negative.
Always with the negative. When's the last time you ran a 40?
I don't know how many yards I would get into my 40. Both hamstrings pulled, and like one of my Achilles like did that thing where it went zing off like the back of my leg.
Honestly,
I don't know if I could run 15 yards right now.
When's the last time you ran a 40? Anything less
Never.
Than 40? A race against
Never.
Somebody? When's the last time?
Pursuit from the law, maybe after 2 o'clock, emerging from a bar. I can run, when I'm scared, I can run surprisingly fast, but never hand timed. I was never hand timed, Dave. How about you?
I can tell you the last time I really tried, and that's when Nick was 12, and I raced him in a gym, which was probably about, it could have been about 120 feet. Yeah. And it was all I could do, I thought, to beat him, but we still argue about that. He also wrestled me to a draw when he was like 13 the next year, and that's when he knew. He didn't wrestle me to draw. He pinned me when he was 13. He was involved in wrestling for a year. Yeah, and that's what I knew. That was my
– There's always that moment when the young son surpasses
that
the dad athletic strength scale, and it's a little humbling, isn't it?
That was my Bull Meacham moment.
Oh, Robert Duvall, you son of a gun. He was Robert Duvall on me.
I didn't bounce the basketball off the back of his
head. Squirt some? More squirt some? Go ahead, squirt some.
I knew I'd been had at that point, yeah. And I did pull a groin muscle. And that it was the St. Joe's gym here in Downingtown. Yeah, it was bad, very bad.
All right, we're going to wrap up this edition, this combine edition of the Blue White Breakdown podcast. He's Dave Jones. I'm Bob Flounders. We will talk to you guys next week, hopefully after the combine or right when the combine's wrapping up, and we'll have some very deep thoughts. Dave's also at some point going to give us some NCAA basketball picks, but it's a little too early for that. So just something to look forward to now that we're in March, people.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.